and the birthday boy, John Laser. We are brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff and there for you in any case. The voice of Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech football can be heard right here on Fox Sports 910. Laser, we're going to go to Maryland here coming up at 8:20. Check in with Jesse Dougherty, the Washington Post. He was at the press conference yesterday with Wallace Lowe and the AD addressing the death of Jordan McNair, addressing the culture, the allegations around the culture of the football program at Maryland. You and I, we're both around college football. We both know there is a quote-unquote football culture. However, some of these allegations at Maryland, look, you're around a D1 football program. As you heard the story about Maryland, as you're reading some of this stuff, what stood out, what struck you?
I think what struck me the most, Wes, was the reaction to the portion when Jordan began to struggle, when he was obviously physically struggling and his teammates were commenting on, wow, Jordan looks messed up, or you know, Jordan doesn't look right, things like that, and the reaction or lack of reaction, at least from a compassionate standpoint, from the coaching staff. I can only speak for the coaching staff that I'm around all the time. Sure, do they coach hard? Absolutely. Do you know? Does every coach in America coach hard? I think so. Is the language always PG? No. But at the same time, if there's ever an instance where a player looks as though something negative has happened or something particularly, in this case, out of the ordinary has happened, then every resource and every member of personnel and every effort is then diverted to them to make sure that that situation is remedied. So to have that reaction is particularly when you're smart enough to realize that these things have happened at various levels of football before, and
yeah,
it's certainly not something that this was the first time that somebody had unfortunately died from this situation, but at the very least suffered major medical consequences. You know, I was an intern with the Vikings back when Corey Stringer died in training camp, and that was back in the Tua day and the sand pits and all of those type of deals, and everyone was stunned, and you look back on it now and wonder why. Well, 17 years or whatever it is later, I can't believe how stunned people are within football that things like this can happen when you're dealing with things or not dealing with things in a proper manner.
Yeah, no vital signs even taken. Just baffling. Jesse Dougherty, The Post, on the Maryland situation at 8:20. John Laser, let's get back to Virginia Tech. We talked quarterbacks. We talked camp, quote-unquote, battles. Justin Fuentes said the other day that, you know, he mentioned certain freshmen, and he said a good number of freshmen are going to play, and it's a case-by-case basis. He mentioned tight end James Mitchell. He mentioned Dax Hollyfield, who you brought up before. And look, everybody's different. Everybody learns different. And this is why I'm just so interested, intrigued by this new redshirt rule where you can play four games before you lose your redshirt, because you can actually test the waters with a guy. And you can test him at the beginning of the year. And if you don't feel a guy's ready, you could have him for the back end of the schedule.
That's what I think is going to be a very interesting dynamic, not only for the Hokies, of course, but throughout college football, is how some of these coaches decide to deploy these guys. I think it might be another one of those deals where it's a big benefit to the bigger programs, because you can toss out those five-star guys that maybe would have had to redshirt and see where they're at. Some of those guys had that ranking coming out of high school because they were more game-ready than other people at their age or other players at their age. For Virginia Tech, yeah, I think that's absolutely what you said, Wes, is that you can somewhat throw it against the wall and see what sticks in terms of freshmen, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. I think you're definitely going to do that to get some seasoning. As Bud Foster likes to say, there's no experience or no teacher like experience. I think he's definitely going to take that mindset, particularly with the cornerbacks. I don't think that there are going to be true freshmen that are playing significant snaps, barring some injuries in that level of the defense. But at the same time, I think you really need to try to rotate those guys in. The quarterback position, you're going to get to see Quincy Patterson, I would have to imagine, at some point, although I think the Hokies may keep the wraps on him for a couple of weeks at least, and that might be an end-of-the-season type of situation. But for sure, you have that luxury of giving guys shots, and if it's clearly a situation where we see sometimes where they're not ready and it looked okay in practice, but you get under the brighter lights and you get against some bigger competition and it doesn't go well, then you can sit them down and then they have a better knowledge and maybe won't be so discontented in terms of doing the work behind the scenes and in the weight room to get themselves ready for a redshirt freshman season. That's what happens sometimes, is guys sit and don't have to play or don't get to play and become discontented, and that sets the relationship off on the wrong tone. Well, if you get out there and clearly you're overwhelmed or you're overmatched, that tends to paint a different picture for you, even within your own head, I would think.
John Lazer at Laze VT. Talk college football, talk Hokie football with him anytime, every Wednesday at 7:30, and every Wednesday we get into a lightning round. Couple questions prepared by John Lazer from me. Couple questions prepared for me by, well, for John Lazer by me. It's your birthday. You get to go first, my friend.
All right, I'll go first. Big kerfuffle. That's one of my favorite birthday words out at Redskins training camp earlier this week. My question to you, Wes, if you were at a sporting event where a fight between players spilled into your spectating area, your reaction would be what?
Oh, you didn't see the video? I was right there. It was myself, Craig Hoffman, and Chad Ryan. We were all sitting right there. And as soon as I saw Trent Williams throw up the haymaker, I stood up, and then I ran. Flight or fight, I flew, baby. I got out of there quickly.
Yeah, I think that's really the only correct response, to be honest, is to just try to get yourself out of the way, right? The video didn't have audio, by the way, so I didn't get to hear your shrieks.
Oh, they were shrieking. Actually, my favorite video was Michael Phillips was on the hill and had a video of a fan. There's a dude taking a selfie. Like, the action's coming right
with the
at
fight,
him.
Yeah.
And he's putting the phone up behind him, smiling into it, while he's about 3 seconds from getting trucked over.
Dollars and donuts, that guy's a UFC fan.
John Lazer, it is your birthday. Do you have a most memorable birthday moment or birthday present?
Birthday moment. Probably not many that I could repeat on the air. Oh, you know what? I've got a good one. So I was turning 21 legitimately, and in Minnesota it's cold and we don't have a lot to do. So we'll just say that I'm 21 years old. It wasn't my first adult beverage, despite the legality of that. But there was a local watering hole a couple of blocks away from my parents' house that I used to go to, and I had an alternate means of identification. So I'd been going in there. My dad, on my 21st birthday, says, you know, right at midnight, let's go get your first drink. I'm like, all right. And he's like, let's go to this place down the street. We go in. I walk in. First minute of being 21, the bartender goes, John, your usual?
I was surprised you didn't walk through the door like Norm and everybody go, Lays!
Yeah, it was pretty much that type of situation. In terms of birthday presents, I remember getting a Callaway Big Bertha 3-Wood from my aunt back when I was 9 that really started my love of the game of golf. It was, at the time, the finest club on the market.
Shocker. Birthday memories of beer and golf. John Lazer, your question.
Your daughter, London, has taken her first steps. Level of fear within your household that was going to happen with me around to, one, provide play-by-play, two, me around in a babysitting role without you there.
Oh, it was a DEFCON 1, dude. Like, we just kind of embraced the fact that, like, the moment we'd leave the room and she's there with Uncle John would be the exact moment where she would take her first steps. And somehow, some way, fate did not have that, because my wife knew she would hear about it for an eternity from you.
Well, the reality is that you don't know if that were the case. Maybe I've just been discreet about the fact that those weren't the first steps.
Don't worry, you'll get your babysitting day someday, and I'm going to feed her every organic food humanly possible, so those diapers are vicious. John Lazer, we're going to have Jim Tomey on later on, and we were discussing this morning earlier, the all-class act team, guys that you respect on and off the field. You don't know every athlete and who they are away, but a guy who made your job easier, a guy that you consider a class act. I said Jim Tomey, Ryan Kerrigan, who would be on your short list?
You know, first I'll give you a Jim Tomey story, because back when he was with the Indians and I was covering the Twins for KFAN in Minneapolis, and I was an intern and I'd just get sent into clubhouses where I had no business being in terms of my level of knowledge, Jim Tomey got hit by a pitch from Brad Radke in the ankle. And after the game, I had thought I saw that it was in the knee. And I went in and he was icing down, and I said, you know, Jim, how's your knee? And he said, it was my ankle, kid, like angrily. And I'm like, no, all right, missaw it, no big deal. It wasn't like he was being a jerk or anything. And I walked away and I talked to somebody else in the Indians clubhouse, and I still walking around. He came up and grabbed him by the arm later, and he goes, hey, I'm sorry, I really didn't like my tone and my response there. The ankle's fine, but it was the ankle. That was Jim Thome. He was a fantastic guy, and obviously later in his career he came back to the Minnesota Twins. Here's one that you would not expect to be on this team. The nicest guy that I ever met in any capacity that was always going to give you a soundbite regardless of the time of night, and it was always very helpful because Kevin Garnett would wait for an hour or so after the game before he would think about talking. KG was a great guy once that hour was up, but you had to wait. But while you waited, you talked to Latrell Sprewell, who has one of the worst reputations in the history of sports, and in actuality, of all the players in any sport that I've ever had to be around or ever gotten to be around on a daily basis, he was the nicest.
Happy birthday, buddy. That concludes our lightning round. Have yourself a good one.
Thank you, my friend. Talk to you next week.
We'll do it again next Wednesday. John Lazer brought to you each and every week by Cowan Gates.